My name is Yusuf Mohammed, and I work for Montana State University as a research scientist. And my major research activity is to work on peace lentils and chickpeas. So, as you all know, micronutrients are essential for plant growth, but they are required in small amounts. In this project, we try to evaluate the effect of boron, copper, iron, manganese, molybdenum, and zinc application on yield and nutritional quality of dry pea. Sometimes I am confused which word is appropriate to say field pea or dry pea, but I asked somebody if you said field pea, can be a vegetable or a dry grain. So they told me to use dry pea. So when I say dry pea, I am talking about the grain, growing field pea for grain production. So this micronutrient was evaluated on the grain content and on the grain yield and the nutritional quality of dry pea. So as most of you know, these micronutrients are essential as a cofactor for many enzymes, and they are also involved in plants as activating, they also have enzyme activating functions. In another case, they may have a role in stabilizing organic compounds such as protein. So they are very essential and very important. If they are not available in sufficient amount in the soil, the plant may not complete its life cycle. So, but most of the time, these micronutrients are not available in the soil, mainly due to, as you all know, we like to grow cultivars that can produce more yield per hectare. So the more yield that we produce, the more nutrients we need. So that will result in nutrient depletion. In other cases, I'm glad the previous speaker have pointed out that phosphorus application, especially higher rate repeated application, will increase micronutrient deficiency through fixation. So phosphorus application induces micronutrient deficiency. Recently, our advancement in the use of technology in the manufacturing of fertilizer helps to remove most of the impurities in the fertilizer production, including micronutrients. So this also incur micronutrient deficiency in crop land. As our farm becomes bigger and bigger, we are less exercising nutrient recycling. For instance, we harvest hay and transport it somewhere else, and the animal manure will be difficult to bring it back because of distance and the economic issues. So we are experiencing less nutrient recycling, so this will also incur micronutrient deficiency. Soil pH is an important factor to consider why micronutrients are deficient also in agricultural fields. This is a data taken for the last 30 years in Montana. About 4,200 soil samples were collected in the last 30 years. And in the x-axis, you will see the year. And on the y-axis, you will see the percent of soil samples with a value less than, greater than 1 ppm. So as you can see in these graphs, with years, the trend of soil zinc content declines substantially, showing you that nutrient mining is going on this part of the country. Similarly, in 2050, about 700 plant tissue were collected. From this plant sample, 54% of the tissue were deficient in boron and 31% was deficient in zinc. This all tells you that micronutrient deficiency is widespread in Montana State. Deficiency systems have been also documented in other parts of the state, such as boron deficiency in alfalfa, and copper, molybdenum, and zinc deficiency in different cereal crops. Also, iron and manganese deficiency has been documented also in soybean. But we don't have any result documented from research finding as far as dry pea is concerned. Dry pea is very important in Montana, as in Saskatchewan. So in the last decades, you can see the trend of dry pea production in Montana is increasing. And in the last 10 years, dry pea production in Montana increased by more than 800%. In 2015, 84% of the county in Montana grow dry peas. So it's becoming very important crop in the state. According to USDA, Montana is top America. Montana is America's top producer of pulse crops, including dry pea, in the state. In 2060, Montana produced about 48% of the U.S. dry pea. So, Montana produces a lot of pulse crops, including dry pea, lentil, and chickpea. And most of these crops are exported to other countries like Asia and India. There are several factors why dry pea increase that much. Research, especially the development of semi-leafless characters dry pea that can stand upright until harvesting time, and together with the outreach contribute a lot for the adoption and the increase of dry pea production in the state. And also the use of available machineries without any modification helps to adopt dry pea production in the area. So in 2060, about $120 million was generated for the state of Montana just by growing dry pea only. So this economic, agronomic, and environmental benefit of dry pea production in Montana is substantial, but we need to develop improved agronomic management practice and package to sustain the production and enhance the quality of dry pea. We hypothesize that dry pea has a shallow root system compared to cereals. So that means that dry pea may face a little bit deficiency of micronutrients compared to other crops such as cereals and oilseed. So we hypothesize that if we apply a little bit of micronutrient, we can enhance the yield and improve the quality of dry pea so that the domestic and the international market will have preference to the pea produced in this state. So the objective of the experiment was to determine the effect of boron, copper, manganese, molybdenum, and zinc foliar application rates on the grain yield and the nutritional quality of dry pea. So this table shows you the treatment structure. So in brief, we apply boron, copper, molybdenum, and zinc at 0.5, 1, and 1.5 pound per acre each. And iron and manganese we applied at 1, 2, and 3 pound per hectare each. So the last column shows you the source of these fertilizers. We conducted these experiments at two locations in the northeast of Montana. This arrow shows the location called Richland, and this S shows you the location sitting very close to Saskatchewan and North Dakota. We did the experiments in 2016 and 2017 using randomized complete block design with four replications. And we collected composite soil samples during the time of planting to assess the micronutrient status and some other soil characteristics. So we spray applied the micronutrients using backpack sprayer, and we also duplicated the experiment in greenhouse to do more on nodules size and effectiveness. We analyzed the data using the stars. This table shows you the soil analysis result, the initial content. As you can see in these tables, the zinc. So this. The critical value for the different nutrients are documented in Montana Soil Fertility Book. So as you can see, zinc, molybdenum, and boron are below critical values for both locations. And Sydney consistently, the location Sydney consistently has low zinc, iron, and manganese content compared to Richland. This is another table showing the other soil characteristic. In this table, in briefly, we can see that Sydney has high phosphorus and clay content compared to Richland. So in the previous table, we have seen that those micronutrients for Sydney are very low for Sydney size compared to Richland. Probably, the high phosphorus content and the clay content in Sydney might have contributed to the low micronutrient content in Sydney because of fixation. This graph shows you in the x-axis the different micronutrient application rate on the x-axis. On the y-axis we have grain yield, kilogram per hectare. And this result is from 2016. And the green graph shows you the result from the Richland location. And the orange graph line shows the result from Sydney location. So in brief, the yield from Richland was significantly higher compared to Sydney, consistently for all micronutrient application rates. At the Richland location, yield increase ranging from 4% to 24% was recorded due to application of iron and copper respectively. But the yield increase for Sydney was very low, and we tried to get the highest yield at the application of 0.6 kilogram of molybdenum, which resulted about 60% of yield increase compared to the control. This is the same story but in 2017, and in 2016 we got about 20 inch, so the yield was very good. And in 2017 the area in Montana was very dry, we received on average 4 inch of rainfall, so the yield was generally very low. So the response also very low in Sydney side compared to 2016. But still in Richland side, because it is a little bit the soil profile is deep, so we still recorded a response ranging from 4% to 89% for the different micronutrient applications. But the yield was almost flat for Sydney side because the precipitation was really very low. We received only 3 inches of precipitation during that crop growing period. We also try to see the micronutrient content in the grain, especially, as you know, iron and zinc are very important for human nutrition. So this is a result from Sydney in 2016. With the application of zinc, we didn't see any significant increase, statistically significant increase of zinc content in the grain. But with the application of iron at 3.4 kilogram per hectare, we managed to increase the iron content in the grain by almost 20%. So this might have an implication for human nutrition, especially for those people who are deficient in iron and suffer from anemia. This is the results from Richland. The grain content, the zinc content in the grain was substantially improved with the application of 1.1 kilogram of zinc compared to the control. But application of iron didn't improve the grain iron content in Richland side compared to Sydney. In summary, micronutrient application increased yield at Richland site, but only boron application results yield increase at Sydney consistently. When we look at literature, we read about boron deeply because boron was used to increase both grain yield in both locations. We found that boron is important in cellulose synthesis, flower retention, pollen formation, pollen tube growth, and lignification. And these are very important characteristics as far as DRP is concerned. So if we try to maintain the flower, if we try to improve the lignin content so they can stand upright and they can produce more seed, still we manage to harvest, that would probably might have contributed for the yield increase. So probably in the future we'll dig more research about boron. Micronutrient, in some of the micronutrient, the soil test value was higher than the critical value, but still we get a response to micronutrient application. This might tell us that to revisit our critical value as far as dry P in that part of the state is concerned, dry production in that part of the state is concerned. Iron at Sydney and zinc at Richland improves the iron and the zinc concentration in the grain respectively, And this agro biofortification is essential to contribute in fighting malnutrition, and probably they may help us to improve the grain quality and increase demand for the market. With that, I will thank you everyone waiting this late, and if you have questions, I am glad to take them. Okay. Yeah. The question was whether I was having a greenhouse and how was the effect of the micronutrient application on the nodules. So, well, I didn't present the result, but we collected the data. So we didn't see any significant effect of micronutrient application on nodule size, including nodule number, nodule volume, and the nodule weight, and also nodule effectiveness. And probably that might be because we already have the microorganism in the soil, and whether we apply micronutrient or not may not have affected their activity. And we didn't see any significant effect of nodule size and effectiveness because of application of micronutrients.